I'm worried that my tooth is irrevocably damaged.
It's not. I can teeth are much stronger than that.
Yeah. Anyway, so this is my float.
Yeah, your ice cream soda.
My ice cream float. That
yeah.
I have. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. It's good, though. You know, I've never had an ice cream float before last
month. Weeks ago? Yeah.
And I've had an inadvisable amount of ice cream float since then. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Oh, my gosh. You know the lore that I managed a Carvel for a very long time?
Yep.
I had a lot of ice cream floats.
You have a lot of loyalty to Carvel.
I have a lot of loyalty.
Loyal brand loyalty.
A lot of brand loyalty there, just because it is better. I was there when Cold Stone Creamery hit the airwaves, and I was very anti. That was my first big brand war. Baby's first brand
You were on
war.
The front line.
I was.
You were fighting, throwing stuff.
The thing is, when ice cream begins to melt, it starts to collect bacteria. The concept of the cold stone is that they are mixing it and it's melting, and then they serve it to you sort of melted already. So you're getting the ice cream, and yeah, it's full of stuff. And that's
and we don't know what that stuff is.
But it's full of little friends also.
Oh.
Little bacteria.
Evil little things.
Little things.
Worry,
it's not that serious. But that's just what baby Dylan used to care about. When,
when the fears are in your brain.
Yeah.
The voices.
I'm gonna tilt this a little more towards us. There we go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good. What the fuck are we even doing here?
Hi, I'm Dylan. I am Dylan.
We had a practice, baby.
I am Dylan, and I've played 2 Mass Effect games.
Hello, my name is Roman. I've played the Mass Effect franchise 100 billion times.
This is Dorkspawn, a video game book club podcast where we play choice-heavy video games and discuss them.
That's what we do, baby. Don't you fucking forget it.
Them chapter by chapter, book club style is what I was saying.
Good. This week, we did Geth Dreadnought, and then we did another mission outside of that. We did Geth's Fighter Squadrons, but it's called something else. It's called like a Geth. Like power source, I think, is what it is on Rannoch.
Interesting.
You didn't do it?
I guess not, because that's also not what it's called on the little infographic we have.
No. But then if you Google Geth Fighter Squadrons, it comes up immediately.
It didn't, though.
It does. That's how I knew that's what the mission was.
Right, but that's not what... All right, Geth Fighter Squadron is not what's on our schedule.
But you did Geth Fighter Squadrons?
No, I did.
No, I said last week, I said, oh, and we're also doing Geth Fighter Squadrons.
Oh, that you can't just say words to me and explain.
And then you said, oh, sorry, which one are we doing? Geth Fighter Squadrons. Yeah, okay. Run the tape, gang. Run the fucking tape. Okay, so you didn't do that mission.
Yeah, because what is on the schedule, because I have to live by a document because I can't
live like this.
I can't live like this. So I checked it. What's on the thing? My phone's not here. What's up? You know what I have? I have the power of Discord.
Dreadnought. And then it was the mission that we did 2 weeks ago.
That's what it is. Because I went and I was like, oh, it's checked off. I did this. Purchase Vale.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I was like, I did that.
And then we did get... And so then you did Geth Dreadnought.
Yeah, I did Geth Dreadnought. Yeah.
Sick. Cool. That's fine.
Let's talk about both and I'll...
No, we literally can't talk about both. We'll talk about the one.
Okay.
We'll talk about the Geth Dreadnought exclusively because the Fighter Squadrons, so much happens in it.
Really?
Yeah. It is an optional
mission.
I thought
because you said, it's going to be short.
It is short.
Okay.
But deeply important.
Okay.
There is a thing that happens that cannot happen unless you do that optional mission.
Okay.
And you do it now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's great, though. It's great. I played I played it with Rowan on the sofa, and Rowan was like, holy shit, this is what this game's like? I'm like, yeah. He was like, this fucking rules. I'm like, this fucking
rules. Wow, that's
rules.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. Did you do any extracurricular activities?
I did some. I went and spoke to Miranda again.
Mm-hmm.
Weird update about her sister in that there's no update that she's willing to share with me. She just says,
you have to trust me.
You have to trust me and give me access to Alliance resources with no questions. And I was like, you know what? Sure. And then she's like, I also wanted to apologize to you for almost putting that chip in your head.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very fun.
It is
and
fun.
Very sweet.
It's fun because this is a thing that she says literally the first thing when you meet her in two. She says, I would have done it.
Yeah.
And now she's like, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, I almost did that.
That's kind of bad. It's evil.
And I was sort of like, you didn't, though.
Shake on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I love it. I love her. I wish I could romance her. She is evil. She's a weird character in this game.
Yeah.
In that she just... This is the third time we've seen her, and every time she's like, looking for my sister. And we're like, yep, I know. She's like, the elusive man is after me. Yeah, I know. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
It's very interesting that she just keeps popping in with updates, like, on what's going on in her life.
Yeah. No, it's definitely the odder of the Mass Effect 2 characters.
Tertiary.
Coming in.
Yeah.
Speaking of Mass Effect 2 characters coming in, I did a Cerberus scientist mission where Jacob was there.
Fascinating.
Yep, he was there. He's trying to evacuate people because all of the Cerberus scientists that turned against Cerberus are on this one base. Jacob is not leading them, importantly. Someone else is leading them, but he is there being a number two in command. And you have to help everyone get out. It's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. It's cool shit. Oh, and then I did a bunch of literally a million side things.
Yeah. Because you hadn't done like most of the...
I haven't done
Citadel ones that I did.
No,
and stuff.
So
yeah.
I did a bunch of Citadel things. I just went around searching. Tell you what's cool about this game. The longer you go, the more Reapers take over the galaxy, which means searching for stuff becomes way fucking harder.
Oh, yeah. I keep searching for stuff, and I feel like I haven't found anything in a long time.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel like maybe I'm just, like, looking in the wrong spots. I know not to look places where it says 100%.
Yeah.
But I think still not
finding
anything.
Everywhere kind of has something. Everywhere has something, at least. But it's hard because I get nervous about it. I go like,
oh,
beep,
for
beep,
sure.
Beep, beep, and then Reapers start coming after me, and I'm like, okay, bye.
I intentionally get chased. I love getting chased.
Yeah, you love the thrill.
Yeah, yeah.
What happens when you get hit? It's just game over.
I've never gotten hit.
I thought you saved and then reloaded.
I haven't done it.
Oh, okay. Sure.
No.
It was just a threat that you were excited to do.
Yeah.
Cool.
I love it. And I do it every time. I see that bar open up and I get thrilled and I'm like, yeah, I'll search again. And then I run and scurry.
Love.
I think it's so fun.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's it for extracurriculars?
I think so. If something else comes to me, I forget if I did anything in the beginning of the week.
Sure.
But I think that's the most notable thing I did. Talking to people a bunch.
Yeah.
I feel like there were some little like dialogues that I got with people, but I'm not remembering anything super significant right now.
Yeah. Because I spoke to Tally, and Tally was like, oh, there's something I need to talk to you about in private. So I was like, okay, sick. And I went up to my room,
mm-hmm.
and I called Tally in, and then we talked briefly about...
Oh, yeah, I did this.
Nothing really serious.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she left, and then I had another, like, invite up to, and I was like, oh, okay, and I did that, and then Trainer came up. So the Trainer came up, and then I invited her into the shower.
You got the shower scene with Trainer.
When we talked about this, you were like, you made it sound so much more innocent than it is. Because you were like, yeah, just use the shower. When it's so clearly like, yeah, why don't you get naked in my room and use the shower?
Well, okay, but what I'm doing when I'm saying that is I'm playing a character and I'm refusing that they are insisting that my character did that. Because that's stupid. My character would definitely not. Ani would never have been like, hey, take off your clothes and get in the shower.
Sure.
Especially because it doesn't make any sense, given that you have the option 2 moments later to be like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, if you, like, if the character is being written to intentionally be flirty, that should just be what's happening.
Yeah.
But
sure.
So my read on it was like, oh, the showers suck. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
like,
just use our shower.
Use the shower. Yeah, you have everything you need. Go. Yeah. Just, I'm going to go play solo chess.
I did do it. Shiv did it to be sexy. Hey, let's have sex.
Yeah.
No longer sleeping with Liara.
Oh, that's right.
Broke up with Liara.
Oh, you're a free agent.
So I was like, hey, yeah, maybe you get changed and you get in the shower. And then she was like, and then Trainer says something like, yeah, everyone's always after like a fling. I want something long term. And I was like, Shiv doesn't want that. That's Shiv's like negative. And Shiv was like, I'm actually good.
There's got to be rumors on this ship. You have to know that I just got out of a relationship. Y'all aren't talking.
Yeah, well, I imagine that's why she came upstairs. Because she was like, hey, what about blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, which bears in mind, I'm actively sleeping with Garrus. What the fuck was she doing? Girl, stand up. Have some self-respect.
She just wanted it. She wanted it from Shepard. She was wondering if she can get in between a lady and a bug.
Have you seen that bug?
There's a hard bug. It's a sexy bug.
I'm sorry.
And we all know this.
Inquisitor.
It's the barracks of bugs. Yeah. And then I invited Diana Alas up. We talked about the war effort.
I haven't talked to her in a
while. I had another very flirty conversation with Diana Alas.
Ooh.
A little bit of a, hey, what about we? And then I was like, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I should go talk to her.
Yeah, it's cool. Did that, ba-ba. And then I think outside of like searching a bunch, then I went to go
Dreadnought?
Do the Dreadnought.
Cool mission.
Fucking cool mission.
Cool
we
mission.
Open this mission with my favorite thing in the world. Cool ass space battle.
Cool ass space battle. Yes.
Yeah.
The fleet is there. It's just cool, atmospheric, and we're landing on the Dreadnought, which is like, I guess, like out of power. Like it's not like.
It's giving off a Reaper signal. It's just not as, like, combat strong. It's killing people out of the sky.
It is, but, I mean, but there are, like, parts of it that are dead, like, that are not, like, active. Because, like,
broken.
When you land on it as Shepard, you're, like, first landing alone. Like, you pick your team, but they're not with you at first. You're alone, and you're walking through, like, the like, hull of this ship. Way cool.
Yeah.
And you have mag boots on, and because
cool spacewalk shit.
The spacewalk, and that the ship is like as you are walking, you're walking like around the inside of this. It's like got a circular hull,
mm-hmm.
And you have to walk and traverse around, and like you're kind of just walking, in anti-grav, and things are like blowing up.
Yeah.
Also in like the background and like as you're walking, like the ship gets like partially destroyed as things are happening. Deeply cool.
Deeply cool.
And then when you get in and you like signal your team like a way to get in, then they join you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a cool intro. I like that. I like there's a couple of bits in here that are like this, which remind me of another thing in a game that I really like that I know a lot of people don't is like the scene in Inquisition where you're walking through the snow and you're by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because like it gets a lot of criticism because like technically nothing's happening, but like it is just like
a cool
storytelling
scene,
device.
Yeah.
It's a cool scene and it has a lot of like, you know, a forceful immersion
and
into it.
I really like speaking to all the, because you're doing it and talking to the squad mates and they're putting in things like, there's no windows on Geth ships, and that is both a strength, because they're structural weaknesses and the Geth don't need them, and that is both a strength for them and a weakness because they can't see us if we literally just walk into the building.
Right.
and you're having all these fun comms as you're doing this big spacewalk. You get in. Both of us had the same team because I saw her over your shoulder.
Yes, yes. So Tally obviously is like the mandatory, and then we both picked Edie.
Yeah.
As our second.
Because she's a hacker. She's a computer.
More than that, the best reason to take her is that she is not biotic. She's inorganic. Yeah. She is, and such great dialogue came from that. Yeah. Such cool stuff.
No, it's
cool. Her and there's a really interesting one early on where Tally is talking about the Geth and actually sounds sad when she asks Edie if it makes her lonely that she, unlike other constructs, doesn't have like the hive mind. And it was such an interesting thing that like Tally, who has all of this baggage about the Geth, would be like very suddenly like, wow, aren't you sad that you can't?
Yeah,
like,
it must be really nice to have this thing. Yeah.
And Edie was like, I get the privilege of conversating with humans, and I get to do it for pleasure, which I couldn't do before.
Yeah.
Which was really fun.
That is cool.
Yeah. Really cool dialogue.
Especially her using the word pleasure is big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she's getting fucked now.
Yeah. She's having sex with a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Their sex life must be crazy.
It's got to be weird.
She's
gotta
be jacking into the ship to jack him in,
you know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. A little bit of proxy time. Yeah. Do you want a pilot? You want to drive this thing?
you're going through because you're trying to find what is giving the Reaper signal. In this, like, what,
right.
You know, what is the connection to the old machines in this Geth, in this Geth dreadnought?
Yeah.
So a lot of fights, you find so many fights. Big fight week is
Big
what we
fight
had.
Fight week. Yeah. Oh my gosh, so many fights.
And pretty tough. There's this one of, you're walking through the cannons of the ship. Or like it might not be the cannons. It's something. There's this giant electric pulse that is pulsing through, and you have to duck or you lose all your shield, or you lose a chunk of your health if you're down to health. Yep. And it is you versus what seems like 100,000 Geth.
100. Half of them are invisible. There are so many. They're coming from every angle. I got tackled so many times by invisible Geth.
Yeah.
Oh my God. There are so many.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey dorks, do you like mechs, hope punk sci-fi, tabletop role-playing games?
Of course you do! They're three of the best things out there. If you want all these things in your life, then you have to pre-order The Broken Steps, the second setting guide for the hope punk sci-fi TTRPG Dreams and Machines, coming late 2025.
Set in a world in the far future, cut off from Earth, where inhabitants balance on a razor's edge, sleeping mechs decorate the landscape, and wakers, waking mechs that kill, sow the seeds of technological distrust. The Broken Steps give a detailed overview of the Surienta Simio region, including unique and exciting locations, new talents, equipments, expanded rules for mounts and vehicles, and... Robin, tell them the best part.
Settlement building rules, so you can create unique, customizable communities. pre-order The Broken Steps now, and you can get 10% off of Dreams and Machines Player's Guide and the Dreams and Machines Game Master's Guide with the code DREAMS10.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, Dale.
Robin, I want to show off how strong and cool my original characters are, but I simply can't keep throwing my Hero Forge minis at people.
Well, have you heard that Hero Forge has just launched two new types of minifigures? One of them is a color acrylic keychain that's the same size as your Hero Forge standee.
Oh, so I could just, like, carry it around with me and not throw it at people? Oh, I'm looking right now at their website, and they also just launched 100% stainless steel minifigures, so I could totally feel like an old school dork when I'm playing my games.
Oh, and if you throw them, it'll have more impact.
Oh, I'm going to throw them everywhere.
Thank you, Hero Forge, for sponsoring this ad. We do not advocate throwing any minifigures.
No, not at all. None.
But we do advocate visiting HeroForge.com to start designing your custom miniature and dice today.
And check back often because new content is added every single week.
With your long forgotten name, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
In the words of the unspeakable language, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
By the spilt blood of the wicked who walk upon this world sprouting the words of false idols, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
On the land of the dead harvest, that which brings the earth itself into your service, Yamel, we call upon you.
We call upon you. We call upon you. We call upon you.
Yamel calls upon you.
The Sprouting, a Call of Cthulhu actual play podcast by Blighthouse Studio. Find us on your podcatcher of choice.
And then you get to the core of the ship. You get to what is giving the signal. Beep, boop, 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 boop. And it opens. And it's our son.
It's our fucking son.
It's our Legion. Beautiful boy. The Reapers are using Legion to, pulse out a evil signal.
He's wired in.
He's fully Matrix-ass wired into the ship. Because he's had so much contact with Reapers and all this stuff, he's the perfect candidate to do this and command all the Geth. It's crazy. It's great. I love him so deeply. I'm always so excited to see my boy.
And
back.
He's like, did he greets you like right away.
Yeah, Shepherd Commander.
Shepherd Commander.
Yeah. Shepherd Commander.
And I was like,
and, my boy.
And everybody was like a little bit like, wait a second. And I was like, no.
Yeah. Because they give you a big thing of like, wait, but what if he's indoctrinated in a Reaper? And I'm like, I don't care. Like, that's my son.
I was like, he helped us defeat
the collectors.
And we would have lost without him. So I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
We're cutting him loose.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
He's not indoctrinated. He's too smart.
Mm-hmm.
I love him too deeply. In Mass Effect 2, what was the decision you made? Did you, when it came to rewriting the Geth or killing the Geth, did you kill them?
Oh, God. Which one
this
was that?
This is Legion's loyalty mission.
Yeah.
I think you killed them because I rewrote them, and then we both decided that rewriting was the evil option of the
right.
Of the two.
I think that's right, and I think I did kill them. Because what is it? What did it mean to rewrite them
so
again?
So rewriting them is rewriting their code so they no longer work for the Reapers.
Oh, right.
Work for us.
Yes. Yes. Yes, and I did think that was evil.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep,
and
that's right.
And that's fun because this is an option that's a Paragon option, which is very morally gray. This is a very interesting decision in Mass Effect 2 to rewrite them. I rewrote them because we need all the help we can get. In this, Legion says to me, us rewriting them was a mistake.
Fascinating.
He's like, they gained sentience. And immediately went back to the Reapers because they were like, what the fuck? Why did you rewrote me?
Yeah. You can do that.
You can just openly write my programming.
Fuck off.
And they immediately became heretic again.
Yeah.
Which I think is so cool. And one of the coolest things that Mass Effect does with a Paragon option is make it be like, it's not Paragon. Killing isn't... It's like, it's killing or enslaving is the choice, but enslaving is counted as a Paragon, and it calls you out for making
because,
that decision.
Which I can see, like, the sort of, like, especially when I'm thinking about this binary option that this game series really heavily relies on, where there's not like a gradient of options. There's like path. It's, and like you kind of said, it's not necessarily good versus evil. It's like passive versus aggressive.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, we take control of them or we kill them. It's a more passive option or a more aggressive option.
It's not even like take control. It is just wipe the Reaper influence from them in the with the assumption they're going to join us.
That they're going to join us, yeah.
But Legion says that they gained their own mind back and then were like, no, I made my decision. We just thought that their decision was bad. And then they were also pissed that we had the ability to rewrite them and did. And it's a cool,
that's cool,
consequence for the actions that you did.
Yeah, that's cool.
That game. It's cool. And then you have a billion fights.
We release Legion and then we have to fight a billion more. Yep. Oh my God, it's so many.
Yep.
And they're all so good at hiding. They're better at hiding than any other enemy in this game.
But you fight them, and then because the Reaper signal is turned off, Legion then, in this big, you go down to the core and you're finding stuff and you turn off the shielding to the building. And then as you do, you're all sprinting out. You make it out off the dreadnought, and then the shields are down. So then every Quarian fleet, or the whole Quarian fleet, should I say?
Yes.
Turns on the dreadnought and then bombs it out of the sky.
Yeah. Oh. But we, as we're fighting, we start getting messages or overhearing messages from the Quarian fleet where they're like,
they're
firing on us, and they're like, all right, let's destroy it. What's her face, played by what's her face, beloved character actress?
Yes, in The Expanse.
In The Expanse.
And also in this.
God, love her
and
so
also
much.
Also in another thing.
Crunchy, toasty voice.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love it. I could eat her words. I could. Please do. Because I know people are screaming at me. Oh my God, yeah, I don't think I've ever heard her name out loud.
Because she will be in...
Yep, The Expanse and...
She's in The Penguin, this is her.
The Penguin, yeah, this is her. God. Shore Agadashlu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shore Agadashlu.
God, she's so hot.
It's her. She's the lady.
She's so hot, and her voice is so yummy. So she's arguing like against the Quarians, being like, you can't do that. Our people are still inside.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, but we have our moment right now. Also, they had, I guess, a moment to get the fleet out and chose to attack instead.
Yes.
So, they could have gotten the entire fleet out. Instead, they made the call to start attacking while we're still inside,
mm-hmm.
To get the most out of the attack. So they chose, to take out as many Geth as possible with great losses to both their fleet and us.
Yeah.
Over just fleeing.
Mm-hmm.
So we hear that as we're trying to book it for the exit and fighting our way through fucking hundreds of Geth, is that they're just like, leave them! Leave them! Let's blow them up! And so we have to get to escape pods.
A fun mirror back to Mass Effect 2 is us running to escape pods.
Yeah.
That I thought was cool.
Yeah.
This kind of, a lot of this, like, running on an exploding ship, it's like we had the spacewalk, which is what happens in Mass Effect 2. It's the first bit of the Normandies. You have a big spacewalk. Getting to the escape pods and punching in things in panic whilst everything's blowing around you. Love it. It's very reminiscent. Mm. You explode. You get out. You go back on the ship. I immediately start screaming at the admiral who pulled out, who decided to start shooting the ship instead of pulling out. And I started swinging. Shiv punched the guy and told him to get the fuck off my ship. It's cool as hell. It was a good moment. Yeah. What did you do? Were you similarly aggressive when you got back on the ship?
I was pretty aggressive. I did a one. I had like two different reacts, I believe. One that was a little aggressive in the beginning where I sort of like pushed up against him and like yelled at him. And then I think I took a paragon later in the conversation to be like,
don't ever do that again.
Don't ever do that again. Yeah. Something like that.
Cool.
And yeah, then talk to Legion.
Who becomes on board again?
Right. I need to tell you this. So this part is a little different. So Legion is mostly the same for me, but because of my save file, Legion died at the end of my playthrough. And so Legion is still there. Legion is a AI reconstruction of Legion.
Oh my god.
And has a full database of our time together, knows everything that we've done together. But, and I think this is going to be really interesting, keeps insisting to me, this one is not Legion. Like,
holy shit.
But keeps, immediately called me Shepherd Commander, immediately was like referencing things that happened on the Normandy. But anytime I'm like, hey, no, Legion was my friend. Legion, you know, helped us with that. They will directly be like, nope, not Legion.
Whoa. Yeah. That is crazy.
And I think that's going to be a fun, interesting thing that has some twists towards the end of this.
I'm immediately Googling this to see if there's anything different. I'm wondering if you can do the mission because he died in one. Died in two, rather.
In two?
Yeah. I don't know if you can do the mission that I also asked you to do. I'm wondering about it, and I'm checking. Because there is something that I know for a fact that there's something that doesn't happen if Legion dies in two.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Absolutely crazy. Okay, you can still do it. You can still do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that one.
Okay. Yes,
fighter squadrons.
Okay.
But.
Oh, is this going to, because you know what? The other thing that I saw was because I saw Rannoch stuff, but the next thing on our, for next week, looks like it's like all of the Rannoch quest, so I was worried.
It is a repeat. It is on Rannoch. It's one of the two Rannoch quests. Yeah.
Okay.
It is the yeah. It looks like you can do it.
Okay,
so
great.
It is the Geth. I think it's called something like Geth Power Plant. Because you have to do one of the two because you're informed. When you're having these fights with everyone, there is a Quarian leader who is trapped on Rannoch and needs help. And then Legion tells you about a power plant, a Geth power plant that is on Rannoch also. You get to choose between those. You can do both. As soon as you do one of them, just like on Tuchanka, it activates priority Rannoch.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Will I have an opportunity when I do the one that I was supposed to do now to break
do
and do other things in between?
Yes, you will. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I did Geth Fighter Squadrons and then I did other stuff. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good, good, good. Because I do want to try to get some stuff done. We should tell the people that because this episode is coming out late, that we are having a special double week.
Yeah.
And it looks like, honestly, delightful for me. it's going to be, the next episode's going to be a long one.
Yeah.
This is a shorty, we're going to have a longy.
Hey, gang. next week, we are doing the end of Act 2.
Not next week. Later this week,
we are doing the end of Act 2, which is Priority Rannoch.
Yep.
Those Mass Effect 3 heads at home are like, holy shit, that's fucking exciting. Yeah, baby, yeah, it is. I am thrilled to see what is going to happen. I'm very, very excited for
it. I'm so psyched.
It's going to be good. It's one of everyone's favorite moments next to the Morden moment.
Some of you out there liked that. Some of you out there were into sickos.
These sickos right here. These cool, goofy guys. I love it. I love it so much. This game is all about pain
and
sacrifice and death. It's fun.
Good.
So next week is going to be a long one because we have 3 missions to cover, including a full chapter, an act end. You got to get in because whilst I was doing extra content this week, I found out that I can't do most of the missions that I have on my log because I didn't do them in Act 1 and the people are dead or gone.
Yeah, I at least know of one on my list that I can't do.
But what's fun, which I didn't realize before, is they don't close the mission.
I know.
It's just forever.
It sits there to haunt you.
On your journal entry saying, hey, someone wants you to do this. And then I do the thing and it's like, yeah, but they're dead though. They're dead and it doesn't matter. Your efforts are too late. So the next episode will be a long one and I'm looking forward to it.
Oh my God. Exciting.
Very exciting.
All right. So enjoy your brief little spawn this time. You're going to get a long one.
I have a closer.
Oh, what is it?
It's kind of thematic for the fact that we're doing both in 1 week. That I'm excited about because I know what next week's is going to be 100%. But this week, I kind of want it to be Kila Salai, which is the Quarian, a Quarian phrase meaning goodbye.
Kila Salai, which sounds a lot like Elven in Dragon Age 2.
It does. Yeah.
Meryl's little fighter cry, which is like, Donna Salee!
Speaking of Dragon Age, I had a full rant to a friend about Dragon Age 2 today.
And how amazing it is.
And how it's just the best shit ever. I fucking love that game so much. Because they were playing Inquisition, they were like, I love Varric, and I was like, actually, I think you should
rewind.
Yeah.
Rewind a little bit. You want to love that guy?
Yeah, you got to go to 2.
You want to know my pain?
Another person who's completely devastated that you can't romance the guy. The best guy in the world.
They put that chest hair out there like a fucking, like a trap.
Is the thing where it was originally planned that you could romance Varric in 2, is that real?
No, I don't think he was ever planned to be romanced.
Fascinating.
I don't, you know what?
Because people were like, oh, there was this like dev talk where they talked about what it would be originally, but they didn't have time to implement it. And I don't know if that's real or if that's just like fan talk.
I might be mixing up my background stories because there are so many stories from BioWare about like, oh, this person was meant to be romance, but it got cut for XYZ. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Varric is one of them, but I could be wrong. I don't remember.
Dang.
Yeah.
Dang.
I don't know that he was ever meant to be romance because then the thing is that usually when that happens, when they come back in another game, they fix the problem.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, but they were he's going to be more divorced.
Yeah. You're going to see the divorce in action. And then you still can't romance him.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Anyway.
Gang. Thank you so much. Next week, we're going to be finishing Act 2.
Yeah.
Next episode. Thank you so much for listening, I guess. Until next time. Kila Salai.
Kila Salai.